Praise ye the Lord. That's how I test whether we're in the moment or not, you know. Praise ye the Lord. The only person allowed to sit is grandma. She's earned the right. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord, great and mighty, awesome in wonders, copious in mercy. Adonai, Elohim, the bright and morning star, our hope, our resurrection, our life, our kinsman redeemer, our love, our savior, our king. Blessed are you, O Lord. The Lord is his name. You are awesome. My Lord, I don't mean to speak into a microphone. I'm just worshiping you. You know the next word that I will speak and the one I will speak tomorrow. But for this moment, hallowed be your name, O Lord. My weakness, my ignorance, my deficiencies, I lay at your feet and those of my brothers and sisters, because you see beyond all of that to bring us to that good place, to the place of your thoughts towards us that are of good, not of evil, to that expectant end. Thank you for how far you have led us. Thank you for picking us up when we fall. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope of your glory, the hope of all mankind, the hope of the poor, the hope of the rich, the hope of the kings, the hope of all. Jesus Christ, thank you for these few hours that we are among the living to worship you. Forgive us for all the moments this week that your worship was farther from our hearts than our problems, our challenges, our aspirations. Father, we owe you all of this, God. Blessed are you, O Lord, kind and merciful, full of grace. Thank you for your kindness, your love, which cannot be measured. Thank you, Lord, for these minutes. Thank you for your word that is broad. Thank you, sweet Spirit, the revealer of Jesus, the interpreter of God's word. All glory, all honor, all majesty. Oh Lord, I thank you for your truth. I thank you. We have sought the depth of your truth. We have not been able to see it. We've not been able to reach to the heights because you are the only wise God. Blessed are you, O Lord. Please, O Lord, be among us. Sweet Spirit, don't pass us as one of the unserious ones this morning. Please bless us. Forgive us, elevate us, give us your peace. Let your pleasure rest upon us. Blessed are you, O Lord. Lord, we are looking into your word, your everlasting word. Baba, please, Lord, speak to us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God again. I have much to be thankful for, and I know you do. Amidst all the residual problems that may be this morning, I keep reminding myself we are still one, at least we're in the top 25 percentile of the most lucky people on earth. I know no matter the situation we're in this morning, there are people in the world who will gladly switch their position to be in ours. We bless the Lord. In this world, we will have problems, so. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have a plan. I believe it. I'm not religious. I'm here where I stand today because I love Jesus. Jesus is my attraction in Christianity. Jesus Christ is why I'm a Christian. That man, that God man. I'm not part of an ecclesiastical club. I don't believe in the ordination of men because every man has disappointed me. They are all gifted to some degree. They all have their gifts, including myself. I've disappointed myself, so I dare not trust my own. But Jesus has never disappointed. The more I read, the more I learn, the more I walk with him, the more confident of his faithfulness I am. Many of you have been there. You've tasted it. You've won it, driven it, built it. Even if you haven't driven or built the ultimate, you have a taste. You've rented it, right? You've flown in it. It brings nothing. Jesus is the only person. You're all here. You're doctors and lawyers, engineers, MBA, farmers turned MBA, turned. Don't call IT. People just say IT like IT. Respect us more now. We're software developers, for goodness sake. I mean, you call us by names, all right? I mean, what's the matter with you? Just some respect. Yeah, we're technologists, right? We're solution providers, right? We're integrators, right? Eh? You see, get away from me, Peter. Eh? Entrepreneurs, we've started it. We write checks, pay staff. People depend on us to write, to pay their bills. We've been there, and it's still nothing. I've been fortunate to know, at least I'm fortunate to know, how many of us here started or when we were nothing. That's why none of you really impressed me, said Grandma. None of you. Because I literally know when all of you here were still looking for work. All of you. And I've seen how God lifted you. So no matter how successful you are, the glory will be to God. All of you. I know when he walked in the gas station. I know when she was. I don't know when you started, but I know you. I know your mom. You were nothing. Now you're in Gucci and all of that stuff. Don't impress me. Jesus impresses me. Blessed be the Lord for all of us and how far. But all of that without Christ is nothing. Itunu's dad was one of the pioneering members, I say, of CAPRO in Nigeria, a missionary that labored. I don't know, many of you will not remember, about 17 years ago, Itunu's dad. You remember? You remember Sister Anna? Yes. Idunu's mom stayed with us for a while, came visiting with us, and they've been missionaries all of this time in northern Nigeria. The dad travels all over the world preaching the gospel, and we've been fortunate to be part of the family. And she's there in Maryland. She's about to start her residence, right? At some point, applying for the residence. So good to have you. We thank the Lord. So we bless the Lord. But this morning we're going to continue to talk about faithfulness. And I have prayed so hard that I'm not going to bore you with theories of faith, because I'm frankly tired of theories of faith myself. Okay? Last week we gave a background. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Did anybody go back to check if these things were true or not? It says what? Now abides three things. Big words: faith, hope, and love. We said we'll be talking about faith. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. What does it say? Who remembers? Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ stood, and after he taught about why it's important for you never to stop praying, he said, well, I added my own, right? But the way I see it, when I interact with scripture, I see the Lord say, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And last week he was saying, we're examining, why would the Lord say that? There are many churches, many books written on faith. Faith seems to be growing. There are many, 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 many more believers now than then. Yet, the Lord, who knows better than what we see, saw everything happening today. And yet he said, I doubt that I will find faith on earth when I come back. So we told ourselves, like Paul told us, we should examine ourselves to be sure that what we have today is faith, whether we're still in faith. The tendency is not to do any self-examination as a Christian, just to go with the crowd. Flow. Sunday to Sunday, but never stepping back to do a self-examination. But Paul said, examine yourself and be sure that you are still in faith. It's a very difficult thing to do. It's much easier to go with church doctrine, what is happening in your church age, what you believe, and never really step back to examine whether what you are doing still aligns with, number one, where you started and where God wants you to be. Right. In Jude chapter 1, verse 20, Jude, again, another witness, says that we should what? Build up ourselves in this most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's necessary for faith to build ourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost. Faith is not something you do by flesh. You don't build up faith by reading Kenneth Hagin books. And faith does come by hearing, and hearing what? By God's word. So can we afford not to be in the word of God? And that is where I assert, and I mean it, because I've taught the Bible for a while, that the rate of biblical illiteracy among Christians is alarming, and we need to address it. Christians know about medicine. Christians know about pop culture. Christians know about many things. But the rate, at least when I was a younger Christian, the Christians then were more familiar with their scriptures than Christians today. That's alarming. That's also a measure of the decline of faith. So it's not surprising that Satan can sow doubts and falsehood because we are no longer paying as much attention as we ought to what? The word of God. So we laid all of this background last week. Now, 2 Corinthians, please write it. You might not be able to read it, but Berean Christians, go back and read. 2 Corinthians 13:5, check yourself whether you are still in faith. Paul said, in the passage we read this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul told us that his spirit was telling him expressly that in the last days, many will depart from the faith and give heed to spirits that deceive. Isn't that true? We're in a Christian culture where congregations are being persuaded that they can somehow bribe the Lord with their money. Okay? That's the spirit of deception. Literally bribe God with money. If you give, God will give you. The God that lives in a place where it doesn't even live there, he made it, whose footstool is the whole earth. Somehow, if I give my meager $1,000, the Lord will be pleased with me. So there's a transactional God today. That the Lord will bless me, not because I'm living holy and righteous, but because I'm a faithful giver. Deceptive spirits. And we believe that stuff. We believe all of that stuff. That somehow the Lord cares for how much you earn. The Lord Jesus who would literally call a fish and say, go pay my taxes, Mr. Fish, Mr. Tilapia. You have appointed you to pay, not just mine, but take these disciples as well. Make sure all their IRS taxes, they are paid. Then Mr. Tilapia will probably say, but have a little mouth. Okay, go and call your grandfather, Will. Fill his stomach with money because I need money. We need to pay our taxes to Caesar. That's the Jesus we serve who can literally call for. Somehow, he now depends on my money. So deceptive spirits in the last times, and we're seeing it. We're seeing ministers get richer at the expense of the flock. Deceptive spirits said, we should be warned. Because in the last times, last days, right, many will depart from the faith. And these teachings are so prevalent today. And folks believe it. Smart folks. Smart Christians. CEOs. Folks who should know better. But Jesus warned us that this will happen. So what am I interested in? There are so many aspects of faith, right? But I'm not interested in all those. I'm not interested today in faith healing. There are truths to all of those. There's ample time to discuss those. I'm not interested in name it and claim it. Who knows what name it and claim it means? Have you ever heard about it? Name it and claim it. What does it? What's the teaching? If you only believe, if you want New Covenant Church property, if you believe, you only need to believe strong enough, and New Covenant Church property will become yours. You know, and there are scriptural passages. Anywhere that the soles of your feet will touch will be yours. Just covetous faith. I'm not interested in all of that. I'm not interested in theory. I'm not interested in faith healing. Not that it's not true, but I don't think it's the important aspect of faith for now. Jesus will heal us. I've seen too many faithful Christians in the will of God die of sickness. Even Elisha, most of you may not know. Go and check your Bible. Elisha died of sickness. Right? That's, I'm not interested in all of that. Some people also have experienced tremendous, the scriptures is replete with examples of healing. And some Christians also with tremendous healing gifts and healing by faith in God. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught it, right? But that's not where my interest is today, because I know it's not every Christian. That is not the evidence of faith. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Where is Lazarus today, Sister Tola? Give me his address.
I don't know.
You don't know? No, you
he's
must
in
know.
He's
oh,
in.
He was called back from heaven. Where is he? He was raised from the dead. So where is he today?
He's dead.
I'm not interested in permanent, temporary faith expressions. I'm not interested in all of that. I want to talk about the faith that is common, expressions of faith that is common to all of us, that all of us must experience. The fact that you saw or performed a miracle does not mean that you have faith. Judas performed miracles. It was one of the disciples that saw Satan fall from the cloud. May I not be a Judas? The fact that you perform miracle does not prove that you know Jesus. Philip performed miracles, and yet Christ said to him, "Have you been with me so long and you still do not know me?" So it tells me miracle working is not the evidence of faith. The fact that you have a lot of possessions and you have money like Steve Jobs. Please, who is the richest now? Forbes? Huh? Elon Musk does not have faith. He has all the money in the world. Well, not all of them, a big chunk. Solomon. See Solomon's lifestyle? The way the Bible talked about it at last was not flattering. But what is that thing? What's that expression of faith that as you sit and go home today, you will know that God is pleased with. See, everybody in the Bible that the Bible talked about regarding faith, the real faith, all of them pleased God. The evidence of faith is that as you sit here, as you walk around claiming ownership of Jesus, your life pleases God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But those that come to the Lord must believe He is and is a deliverer of those who diligently seek Him. If you read the whole of Hebrews 11, all kinds of tragedies, all kinds of tough times, all of them pleased God. Now, As you sit here, your worship and your testimony, is it that you please God? You see, what we have today, and I think it's the work of Satan, are teachings of expressions of faith. And they are all valid expressions, the fig tree that will dry up. Expressions. Signs and wonders. Never mind that a lot of them are exaggerated. See, I did a test with my wife yesterday. My wife used to go to the Redeemed Christian Church of God very diligently. Well, she said it was 6 times. I'm sure she forgot about 25 other times. Well, let's not, don't tell her I said this, but yes. So, yeah. I said, okay, do you have relatives that also? He said, oh, yeah. My relatives were literally, you know, after the week, Friday work week, we drove there. So how about friends? Do you have, oh yeah, I have heaps of friends, right? In fact, some of our friends, some of their parents and all of that have houses in that place. How many of you have been to, they said, look, me, I mention names because the time is near. I have no time. We must expose everything, okay? I mention names. And I said, what is the number one reputation of that camp? For those who know, please, that's a big religious, it's almost a city, a Christian city in Nigeria, a grammar, right? I'm sure you drove by it on your way to Ogbomosho. Someone would have, Ogbomosho, right? It's just, what's the reputation of the camp?
You
haven't been to camp?
I have. How many times?
I think
yeah, I know. Miracles, signs and wonders. How many of you have literally witnessed a miracle from that camp? I know we all have heard. Of course, we all have heard. Right? How many of you have personally witnessed? I've just said the reputation does not match the result. So, and I make that point just saying, this focus on miracles is a scheme of Satan. And the crowd shows you we are really interested in miracles, not in character. I want us to talk about the character of faith. The enduring part of faith is the character. The true evidence of faith is the character. How many miracles did Abraham perform? Yeah. How many recorded in the Bible? How many miracles did Abraham perform? It's not hypothetical. I'm really asking. And yet he's the father of faith. Why was Abraham called the father of faith? The character. I would like us to focus on the character of faith. You may not be able to perform miracle in your life. You may not be able to name it and claim it. But if you walk with the Lord in faithfulness, which is the true measure of faith, then the promises of God will be yours. I think what we lack today, and if we are not noticing, unbelievers are noticing, is the character of faith. So that's what we'll focus on. I want to highlight just a few things. You know, there was the Word of Faith movement popularized by someone like Kenyon, right? And Kenneth Hagin's. And the problem we always have is that God gives you a peculiar experience and it turns into a teaching and a doctrine. I don't even know Kenneth Hagin's Sinner's story. Extraordinary. God's revelation of Mark chapter 11, verse 24 to him. Extraordinary, undeniable. The man was born a prem, sickly on his life, on a sickly bed at age 16. On a very sickly bed at age 16, almost giving up for dead. And the Lord gave him a revelation of Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Whatsoever you want, pray, believe you receive, and it shall be yours. And in a few days, the man was walking all over the place, healthy, undeniable. So let's not deny the power. And we're going to talk about faith in prayer as we go on, right? But what we're saying is the sweetest expression of faith. That may not be your story. I've read countless pioneers for the Lord who on the mission field were, please read the history of how faith got to your country. Please Google it, read it. A lot of the people that are the reasons that you and I are sitting in Jesus today, it's their graves are in churches and churchyards in Africa as we speak. Many of them, until they invented chloroquine. Actually, one of the impetus for chloroquine was that a lot of colonialists, and especially colonialists, will sit in, I'll use Nigeria as an example, grammar. They'll sit in Lagos, sit in Ikoyi with the net and all of that for the longest, just the seats of power. Do you know the people who went into the interiors and opened up Africa? Do you think it was colonialists? It was missionaries. They could not sit in the coast side where the water will wash some of the sickness. And they died like flies. Some went with wives and died. Their children died. They buried their children. Some of them were despondent and they ran back, but they came back to Africa. Tell me that those are not faithful people. Tell me they do not have faith. Characters of faith. And because of their death, today, a lot of us, a lot of our fathers heard the gospel, our grandfathers, they set up schools. It was because they set up schools. Colonialists did not set up schools. It was missionaries that set up schools that resulted in you and I having an education. And now we're all so cute. Our great grandfathers were idol worshippers. The gospel of Jesus Christ opened the way by the blood of faithful men and women who loved not their lives unto the end. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does it make sense to you? I want you to shake away this psychedelic Christianity. Shake away this convenient Christianity. The character of faith is not loving your lives to the end. The character of faith is that you are unhindered by physical situations. The character of faith is that you are ready to carry the cross and follow Jesus. Auntie Ronki. Oh, yeah.
What you said about the colonial and the missionaries, because I've had a number of back and forth with people who say to you, Christianity is a white man's religion, that the colonial masters came with their wicked selves, for whatever slavery, blah blah blah, and they taught us this. And hearing what you said now about missionaries, I'm just I don't my just to help, like, because sometimes when I'm having conversations with people, I find myself going, that rings somewhat true. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I understand what you're trying to say.
If you can just explain, clarify that.
You're brilliant people. We're spoiled. We have too many master's degree here. Too many. We're incredibly educated in this church. Incredibly. Incredibly. Please read your history. Please. When we're not sure about where we come from, Satan will lie to us. Jesus was not a white man, he was a Jew. That should end the argument.
I can counter it by telling you that if you go to Israel, where Jesus comes from or was born, only 3% of the population are Christians.
What does that? Jesus said, few people will
I
believe in me.
know, but
So next point, Jesus already said that. So,
okay, but we'll say that, okay, the missionaries, so if the colonial masters didn't come to Africa, I guess the missionaries wouldn't have found their way there, right? Abi,
Now, what does that matter?
it
If
doesn't
they
matter.
hadn't invented sheep, then Paul wouldn't have been able to go to Europe. I mean, all these things are just not logical. It has nothing to do with what we are talking. You understand what I'm saying, Sister Ronki?
Yeah.
So, what did we
So
give
I
what
guess
their
some
sheep?
people, they just want to lock their minds up and just make up their minds that da da da. This okay, I get you.
Jesus said they would.
I get you.
Abby, she cannot. Is it clear, Titi? You understand? Go ahead, go ahead. Finish your thought. You gotta finish your thought. Yes, this man. Thank you, sir.
Well, I was just gonna say, even before the European missionaries, we know that there were Christians in Ethiopia.
I don't care. All I know is once I was dead, now I'm alive. Once I was blind, now I see. I don't care. Do you care what medication the when you're very sick, do you care what medication the doctor prescribed? I think you get the only reason we are debating this is because we are well. If you are in darkness, if you saw, if God opened the pit of hell and the billows of eternal damnation comes to you, all of these distractions will fly away. What do I care? I don't know him personally, but I know Reverend Playfair. I know the man who left the US in the interiors of my homeland and planted a church. And I know that my great grandfather, the king of the area in Amadini, some people think, sent his son, my grandfather, Folake and Kemi's grandfather, to these missionaries. And they taught him how to read. And he read the Bible and preached. He didn't preach, he interpreted, actually. I know that when he died, the community hated his sons, my father, Folake's dad, and would not help, and hated his wife. And I know that some missionaries took on my uncle and schooled him and sent him to the US. I became a professor of metallurgical engineering. Tell me that's a white man's religion. I don't care whether it's a blue man or a white man. Once I was blind, now I see. Undeniable. By their fruit, you will know them. That's why I'm talking about the character of faith. And I know our time is up today. We'll continue about the car. But please, I beg you, throw away those books in theories. Search yourself whether you have the character of faith. Shelley, you know what I'm talking about. Test whether you have the character of a saint. Jesus did not emphasize his miracles. He will perform it, and for some reason, you say, don't tell anybody. He kept preaching the kingdom of love, of righteousness, and of peace, the character of faith. We'll go through Hebrews 11, but I want to, since I started that, character of faith. I read recently The Pastor's Wife by Sabina Wombrandt. Who has read that book? The Pastor's Wife, Sabina Wombrandt. Okay, but you've read Tortured for Christ. Who has read that? Richard Wimbrandt, probably you have, because you talk, Voice of America founder, Voice of America, Voice of the Martyrs founder. Let me tell you, character, these are the people I admire. This is why you find that I'm not too drawn to popular Christianity. Because this always made me wonder. I admire people, especially when I go to the US and I see they left this for that. Why? Why would you? We're even begging some people to go back. They can't. Some people say, I can never live in Nigeria again. I can never live in Nigeria. I don't want to live in Nigeria. They left this for that. I know it's their calling. We're not all, we don't all have the same calling. So it's not an indictment. God called us and will fulfill our purpose. But when you see the convenience, you cannot deny the sacrifice. Sacrifice is the character of faith. It's so easy to read that Abraham left. Do you know he left his cousins and he went somewhere that he did not know? The character of faith. The pastor's wife, true story. Mrs. Wimbrandt and her husband founded the Voice of America here in the US. Yeah, Voice of America, the Voice of the Martyrs. So, after World War II, you all know the history, how the Russians took over Romania, and Romania became a communist country. You all know what communist countries are? They hate God. They don't allow the gospel in communist country. That was why we really rejoiced when the so-called Iron Curtain came down, right? Now, when the communists came to Romania, Richard Wimbrandt, Sabina Wimbrandt were pastors here. They were Jews, Jewish converts, right? Diligent Christians. The Communist Party called a Congress of Courts of Faith. So they ordered religious leaders and representatives from every church, every denomination, Muslims, Jews, all of them. They ordered them to the parliamentary building somewhere in Budapest. So Richard and his wife were one of the pastors that were gathered to represent the World Council of Churches and Foreign Missionaries. There were altogether about 4,000, consisting of Muslims, Orthodox, Protestants, Jews, bishops, rabbis, mullahs, and communist representatives. Now, this was a time of fear. It was a time when a government was taking over. These people were victims of a new government. You can imagine a military takeover in a country where all laws are suspended. So the communist promised them that, look, we're going to allow you to practice your faith, but it must be under our direction. One by one, leaders of each faith stood up and began to praise Stalin and praise the because they guaranteed them their salaries. They guaranteed them that they will keep their churches open. They guaranteed them that they will not suffer. Now, the shocking thing is when you have fear in your life, you forget. Because by this time, all of these leaders know what happened to faith in Soviet Union. But they were afraid. So in fear, in order not to lose their stipend, to lose their titles, to lose their church, they all stood up and they praised the Communist Party, pledged their loyalty to Stalin. Sabrina was there with Richard, her husband. And the communists were clever. They made sure that this meeting was broadcast all over the country. So over the radio, Christians across Romania had their leaders paying obeisance to the communists. Sabrina turned to her husband, this unknown man called Pastor Richard Wimbrandt, a Jew, said, "Will you not wash this shame from the face of Christ?" 4,000 people in a hall. The character of faith. When you see your fellow Christians embrace popular Christianity, when you see your fellow Christians embrace popular culture, deny Jesus, what do most of us do? We keep quiet, or we embrace it with them, or we find justification. Most of you, when you got born again, you knew Jesus was asking you to carry a cross. As many of you as ever truly met the right Jesus, you knew you were not being called to a party. You knew you were not being called to popularity. You knew you were not being called to an easy life. You knew you were being called to carry a cross, to remain faithful, no matter. In fact, he promised you that the road would be rough, but that he was going to help you. He did not lie to you and I. We knew what we signed up for. But as the culture around us changes, have you changed? These leaders, Muslim, Jews, Christians, knowing better, because many of them had preached and written books about faith, they paid their obeisance, pledged their loyalty to a godless government. And this woman looked at her husband. She said, "Will you not wash this shame from the face of Christ right in that hall?" And he turned to her and said, "If I speak, you are going to lose a husband." And she said, "I do not need a coward as a husband." The character of faith, brothers and sisters. Do some of you speak up when you see a deviation from what Jesus commanded you when you got born again? Do you still correct your friends? Are you flowing with the population? Have you since abandoned the voice of God that spoke to you? Now you are flowing with the masses. You sing any song, wear anything, go everywhere. You don't even examine your life to see whether indeed you are still glorifying Jesus. The way if you shift your mind to when you first believed, you pledged and confessed to him that you would. I don't know who said it, that an unex I think it's Socrates or Aristotle, that an unexamined life is not worth living. It's not too late. Jesus is looking for faithfulness. Many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, I performed a miracle in your name. I did all these things in your name." I will say, "I never knew you." Because the true evidence of faith is faithfulness. He sent a car to the front that I would like to speak. And he said to that congregation, of course, the way it read in the book, the communist leader thought, in fact, they were particularly happy because he was representing the World Christian Congress and the International Mission. So these are reputedly stubborn people. So they thought they were about to get an endorsement from yet another weakling. But he did not speak to them. He spoke to the people who gathered. So when the children of God gather, Satan is also gathered. It is the duty of every one of us not to praise earthly powers, but to glorify God, the creator of all, and Christ, the Savior who died on the cross. As he began to speak, the communists began to shout, "Cut off the mic, cut off," because they are falling into their own trap. They had it broadcast live on radio, knowing what they normally would hear. But now, hundreds of thousands of people were finally hearing on this day over the radio a man of God speak. He was speaking something contrary to the church leadership, contrary to the communists, the powers that be. But it was too late. As he spoke, the people became bold. Have you ever been in a situation where, as a Christian, you're feeling weird, you know, and you're with some of your other Christian friends, and you're not even looking because you're too embarrassed? Or let me bring it home. Have you ever watched a movie? You've gone to watch a movie, and suddenly there's a sex scene, and you're a Christian because the Holy Spirit is in you. Something is choking your body, and there's silence. Me and Sister Tola, well, we are Christians, though, and we are watching a movie. Will you be able to look at me? No. You are going, thank you. That's the word. It's awkward, right? Goes, wow. Then, for those of us who know how to deflect, say, "This movie is Joe, when it's over," you know? Because the Spirit of the Lord is choking your conscience. Unfortunately, today, we don't even have that conscience anymore. But let me ask you a question. Supposing there are four Christians in the midst of your people, you go to a party, a get together, a school reunion, and they are doing, or even you go to a Christian, so-called Christian party, and they are doing abominable things, and every Christian is feeling awkward. What happens if one of them spoke up? The others will become bold. But when all keep quiet, it will become a regular practice. As this man began to speak, the Christians in the hall became bold. They started clapping. They started in Romanian language saying, "Pastor, pastor, pastor, it's the duty of a man of faith to speak up. When we keep quiet, bad things happen." The character of faith is also boldness. Your faith will be tested with boldness. Please remember these things. Don't fall for self-serving expressions of faith. May the Lord heal us by faith. But no matter how much he heals you, in a few more years you will die of something. May the Lord give us possessions by faith. But a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. But more than anything, may the Lord give us faithfulness to Jesus Christ that walks through fire and you are not scorched, walks through water and you are not drowned, that in the face of death, you are not moved. These are our own heroes of faith. These are the examples you should follow. Let this be your prayer, that the Lord will fill your heart with boldness, that you will be like Jesus, facing the cross, trembling, and yet, that your faith will be like Luther's, saying, "Here I stand, I can do no other." Pray for this. Pray for this. Let some people be known as the miracle workers. You be known as the friend of God, because great is our reward in heaven. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Next, we will continue and examine some more character expressions of faith. Give us true faith, Lord, as you predicted. There are false teachings. And we know they are false because the fruits they are bearing, they don't resemble Jesus, who was faithful unto death, who seemed to be able to face with confidence the things that scare most people, who, in his obedience, brought salvation to mankind. The faith of Daniel, although held in captive, there was nothing that was found in him by which his character could be impugned. Give us. Please, Lord, we want many things from you. Give us faithfulness to your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Lord, we are asking for this gift. That not death, that gift that says nothing will separate us. Not death, not things present, not things to come, not poverty. That nothing will separate us from your love. The faith that stands, that abides. Help us, Father, to be one of the few, really few, that will have this expression of faith. Blessed are you, O Lord. As we read your word, I pray that faith will be engendered in our hearts this week. Help us to be different from the masses. Blessed are you, O Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.